This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Jeff Rubin Show. I am Jeff Rubin, boy, and today we are talking to three friends who about 25 years ago had their school taken over by Nickelodeon. Please say hello to Joe.
How's it going?
Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
And Jason.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
First, some background on this contest. For those who are too young, or even worse, maybe they didn't have cable growing up, Nickelodeon, which was the cable network for kids, used to have a contest, a sweepstakes, I suppose, called Nick Takes Over Your School, where we were told they would show up at your school one day and make your school awesome and Nickelodeonified and there's slime. And let me play one of the commercials.
Another ordinary day at school, just like last year, just like yesterday, just like every day. Until you pull up with a busload of Nickelodeon celebrities and...
Nick takes over!
Nick takes over!
Nick takes over!
Nick takes over your school!
Now's the time to enter the Nick Takes Over Your School sweepstakes.
Listeners at home, you basically know everything I ever knew about the Nick Takes Over Your School contest, but it was such a unique promotion that it really captured my imagination, and I never forgot about it. And I always wondered, like, what exactly happened when Nick took over your school? What was it like? And as I love to say, it's my podcast, so we have to do whatever I want. And today, we are going to dig into that question. Joe, Nick, and Jason, you were three classmates. What grade were you in when Nickelodeon took over your school?
Well, that would have put Jason and Nicholas both in third grade, and Joe?
I was in fifth grade, so I... growing up, was actually friends with both of their older brothers, and I still am, I guess, but just, you know, it just worked out that I end up talking to these guys more than I do their older brothers.
So, do you guys know what year that was?
I would believe it was 88, 89, is that right?
It was the 88, yeah. 89 school year, and I think it was 89 when they actually came, but...
And how old, this isn't a question specific for you guys, this is just a general question for the world, how old are third graders again?
Well, I guess we would have been about 9 years old.
Yeah. Eight or nine, yeah. I was 10.
And also, we should be clear, you guys didn't actually win the contest. You were mooching off some, you were freeloading off some other kid in your school who won, but you were at the school where Nickelodeon came. Do you remember who actually won the contest?
I actually do, yes. This is Nicholas, and it was a classmate of mine who, I was in a third second split class, and it was a second grader. I'm not going to say his last name, but his first name was Sean, I believe. And he informed us afterwards, because he wasn't allowed to tell us beforehand that Nickelodeon was taking over our school for the surprise factor, that he and his mother filled out 100 contest entry forms, and he ended up winning. And this was the first one, I believe.
Wow, yeah, 88 and 8 to 89 is pretty early in Nickelodeon's history. You know, when most people talk about Nickelodeon on the internet these days, there's a lot about, like, Nickelodeon 90s kids and, like, Nicktoons. But 88, 89 would predate all that. You know, that's earlier than Clarissa, for instance.
I think. Oh, for sure, yeah. Like, I want to say that you can't do that on television started in 79.
Yeah, I think it ended in 1990. So this is like a pretty early era of Nickelodeon. I think really, it's hard to say because I was a kid, so it was always right. The most popular thing in the world to me. But I do think this was before it really took off and became the cultural institution we know it as today. Just round the horn real quick. What's everyone's favorite Nickelodeon show from their childhood?
Oh, man. I guess it was, iconically, I guess it would have been You Can't Do That on Television. I mean, this is, you know, just it's the same ilk as early MTV, you know? You just kind of, you've got those ones that were the first shows that were on, and it was a time when television was the big media. you know, I was the new thing, so.
Yeah, early MTV is a good comparison. There's definitely something a little punk about You Can't Do That on Television. I can't believe I just said that. Let's keep moving. Other guys, what's your favorite Nickelodeon shows?
Jay, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I'd say Double Dare. That was my favorite when I was a kid.
I should have gone because Jason just stole mine. yeah, my Double Dare, too. I mean, number one, I like the quiz show. I guess I'm kind of a quiz show geek. Like, I still play trivia in the bar and stuff like that. And then later on in life, when I found out, like, Mark Summers, you know, kind of had that OCD thing, and, like, what a nightmare, that show. I guess that kind of added some additional enjoyment as an adult, looking back on it. But
okay, so now let's go back. So you guys watched Nickelodeon. This wasn't, like, out of the blue to you guys. It sounds like you were all very familiar with the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was it like when you found out? How did you find out? Was there any warning, or did you just show up to school one day?
Well, it was, as far as I remember, there was no warning. It was completely hush for anybody who actually knew. So the contest winner and his family and all the faculty of the school they never told us a thing. We showed up and there were a bunch of buses lined up outside. And we didn't have any idea what was going on until there was a message over the loudspeaker.
I am genuinely excited. Like, I actually feel an electricity in this moment. I'm so excited to hear about this. What was the, like, what, and again, this was so long ago. So, you know, it's whatever that you remember these details is so exciting to me. What was the announcement like?
Well, I don't want to do all the talking, so does anybody else remember? Because I kind of do.
I don't remember at all.
So our morning announcements, our principal, I still remember Mr. O'Brien, and he was, you know, just a pretty clear, you know, clean cut button down guy.
Man, I bet he got slime that day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
We'll get to that. Morning announcements.
So, it was Barf, right? Like, it was kind of like he started the normal announcements, and then, like, Barf from You Can't Do That on Television, it had taken it over. Is that right?
In character as Barf?
Yeah, the filthy health code violation chef.
Sure, yeah. No, I know who we're talking about. But, yeah. Like, in character, he was, you know, this not just the actor. Yeah. It was like, uh-oh, Barf is here.
Yeah, no, it was in character.
I would definitely say they all treated this like being on the job, because I want to say everybody was very much in character.
That's fun. So, yeah. I mean, what happens? I'm imagining in that moment, chaos just breaks. Like, what happens when Barf gets on the loudspeaker and says, we're not having school today?
Well, I may be wrong, but I do think I remember them kind of mocking it up that there was a little struggle between Mr. O'Brien and Barf for the microphone.
I love it.
Yeah, and then Barf just, his words were, attention, West Utica Elementary School, Nickelodeon is taking over your school. And we were all just like, what?
I mean, when you're in elementary school and they're like, hey, the next 60 seconds are going to be disrupted, that is cause for celebration. You're like, great, anything but learning. So when they're like, Nickelodeon takes over your school, like, I can't even imagine what's going on in the room at that moment. Were you guys, and this is probably, I don't know if you'll remember, were you aware of the contest before your school won?
Yeah, I knew it existed. But
so it wasn't like, so you had heard of this, so it wasn't like out of the blue exactly. But I mean, obviously no one really expects to win something like that. So do you remember what it was like after the announcement, like how everyone reacted?
Well, we were all outside, you know, we would line up in front of the doors before we could actually go into the school. So it was kind of business as usual until the announcement came over. And I can't remember exactly everybody's response, but I would have to imagine. I'd say, take an educated guess and say everybody was pretty thrilled and excited.
Yeah, we were psyched.
Do you remember what time of year this was? Was this something like a June Friday when you're just kind of like washing down the blackboards anyway? Or did Nickelodeon screw up an extremely productive Wednesday right in the middle of the year?
I mean, I think it was in the middle of the year, but like I said, I'm having a hard time remembering if it was the 88 portion or the 89 portion.
Right.
If it helps, I do know that pretty much everything was indoors. So, I mean, I would imagine if weather permitted, they would have set something up outside.
Right, because where was the school again?
It's in Michigan.
Which yeah, I understand is cold in the winter.
It can be, yeah. I mean, it's snowing today, and it's, you know, it's April. I don't know when this is going up, but it's April 2nd right now.
And it's snowing there, so...
Yeah.
So things were indoors, and this is probably... I mean, you guys were the kids, so you don't really know, but, like, any at all idea what it was like on the other side of this, how Nickelodeon negotiated, like, taking over the school for the day?
No, not really. But I mean, it was the 80s, and I think generally things were more permissive back then.
Yeah, it like, just seems, you know, like schools have a. I don't know. I guess it's like such a fun thing for the school to do. But I just wonder, and I guess I don't know if you guys would know, but like if there was any pushback and they were like, yeah, Barth can't come take over the school. The kids have to learn math. Oh,
yeah, gosh. I mean, we weren't privy to that, but just, you know, I have school aged children. And I can't even fathom, you know, that going on in the environment today. Like, I don't know if this contest still exists or not, but I mean, it's, yeah. As an adult, just kind of dealing with the school system for my kids, it's just like, man, it is crazy to think that, you know, I mean, I don't know what kind of, like, liability waivers they had to sign or what.
As a parent, would you be mad if your kid came home from school one day and said, we learned nothing today, Teen Disney took over the school, and it was all High School Musical stuff, and it was great, and I had fun, but we had no class today. Would that make you angry as a parent?
No, but I'm not, like, soccer dad type parent, you know? Like, I believe that my children should have a childhood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is such a, like, what a great memory that you guys still remember and get to talk about on my podcast 25 years later.
Yeah, yeah. And my, you know, my mom remembers the day I was talking to her over the Easter weekend, and she remembers, and she even got excited about it. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that. And so maybe that's where I get it from, because my mom's pretty cool about it.
And I think teachers are like that, too. Even stuffy old Mr. O'Brien, like, appreciates that kids have to have fun and that, you know, that you have to have a childhood and that, like, this is an unbelievable, exceptional opportunity that the kids would riot if they found out the adults somehow got in the way of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No offense to public school systems, but I believe my child's joy is worth one day of school.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Okay. So, what did your mom what did your mom have to say about it? Because she had a different perspective than you, the 7-year-old, did.
I mean, you know, because I had asked her if she's my mom's a bit of a pack rat, and so I figured she might have my stuff, and I was right, she did, but unfortunately I couldn't get to it. But you know, she was just excited about it, you know. She said, yeah, that was really cool. And so my mom went to the same elementary school. We actually had the same sixth grade teacher, so I guess for her, you know, she got to live vicariously through me, because she was growing up, she was a student of West Utica Elementary as well. And yeah, she was just excited. She didn't have She reminded me of some stuff that I had actually forgotten about, as far as like, and just some swag that we got from the day and things like that.
All right, let's get into that day. Enough dancing around it. What do you guys remember? What actually happens when Nickelodeon takes over your school?
Why don't you go ahead, Jason?
Sure. Yeah, well, it was actually pretty exciting for me, because Double Dare was my favorite show, and I actually participated in the Double Dare event with Mark Summers at the school.
Oh,
and
my God, what a dream.
Yeah, it was fun, and my team ended up winning too, which was pretty neat. But
so what is the Double Dare event? Is it trivia? Is it obstacle courses? Is it slopstacle courses?
It was actually a little bit of all three, I believe. There were two teams. I was partnered up with a fellow classmate. I believe her name was Jennifer. And I don't remember too much about the obstacle course or the trivia, but I do remember the last event, which caused us to win. I was standing probably 10 feet away from Jennifer, and I had a bucket in front of me, and she had a carton of eggs, and her job was to toss me the eggs, and I had to catch them and then crush them on my head and drop them in the bucket. And I had to fill the bucket with 10 eggs within the allotted time period. And I did it, but I didn't realize it until after, you know, the excitement was over and we won, but the eggs were old, and yeah, they were warm. It smelled horrible. And I just remember having these rotten egg, like the rotten egg yolk all over me. And a reporter came up and actually interviewed me, and it was in like a local paper. But yeah, I remember trying to dodge the interview as quickly as I could so I could go to the bathroom and wash it all off.
Was Mark Summers, like, what was his role there? Was he going full speed on Double Dare host? He was having a good time with it?
Yeah, he was facilitating it. It was fun. That's probably one of my fondest memories from going to that grade school.
He was probably the biggest celebrity, the biggest name on Nickelodeon at the time. Like, I was looking at what was on Nickelodeon in 1990, and, like, you know, when people talk about Nickelodeon now, it's not a lot of these shows. So I think Mark Summers was one of the bigger gets, I imagine.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe I took a look just the other day. With a little bit of forward thinking, I went on YouTube and I looked at the 88 promo for this. Now, Mark Summers, he was the host. I want to say he was the host for, like, kind of the whole thing. Like, I mean, like the main celebrity for it.
The best but, MC they I mean, had.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, back then, he was really the only kind of game show host guy on the station. And anyway, I took a look
at
the...
what's his name? Mike O'Malley. And now, even before he did Guts, he did that show Figure It Out, right? Where they were like a picture thing. I love old Nickelodeon game shows.
Wow.
Sorry.
that's
my favorite Nickelodeon show.
Yeah,
there's some others. Like, I feel like that's what Nickelodeon programming was before they got the Toons. Was there was like Finders Keepers, and there was a lot of those like game shows. That's kind of what I remember when I think about 80s Nickelodeon.
Mr. Wizard's World. That was like my second favorite.
But yeah, Mark Summers was definitely like. I mean, it's funny because they were like, Mark Summers will come to your school, and like, Mark Summers is cool, and I love Double Dare, but he's just like he's a game show host, you know. Like now when they do it, it's like I imagine they have. You know, the teen stars of the shows or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, they did that too.
So yeah, who else was there? What else can you guys tell me about the day?
So I do remember, you know, I brought up Mr. Wizard's World. He did like a demo.
Whoa, Mr. Wizard was there?
Yeah, he did a demo
in our
library. Yeah, that library had some interesting memories because a few years before that, I think Jason and Nick might not remember this or might have been too young, but we actually watched the Challenger explosion. They took us down. Now, this wasn't, obviously it wasn't the same year, but in that same library. So those are the two things, plus the spelling bee. Those are the two things that stick out about West Utica's library in my mind was the Mr. Wizard World demonstration when Nick came and watching the Challenger explosion. Like, I don't know, is that akin to like, I don't know if kids in elementary school went to watch 9/11, but again, like the 80s was a different time,
huh?
Right.
That is, yeah, I don't know if what that would be like, but it's just funny, like those are the two memories like you have of the library.
Yeah.
Do you think when you were there that the science teacher was watching Mr. Wizard do an experiment and all the kids were freaking out and really excited about Mr. Wizard's experiment and the science teacher was kind of grumpy like I that's what I do and no one pays attention?
There was a little bit of jealousy there.
That's how I imagined it playing out.
Where did I go wrong?
I mean, so Mr. Wizard, that one's funny because that's like, that's basically class anyway. They're almost tricking you at that point.
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you remember what Mr. Wizard did?
I wish I did. No, I can't. I've been thinking about it. And I remember him being there and I remember it being cool. But did they do the nitroglycerin thing with the rose? Was that... I don't know. I could just be making stuff up. I remember that happening in elementary school, but I don't know if that was Mr. Wizard or not. But have you guys ever seen that where they, not nitroglycerin, liquid nitrogen, where they dip the rose in the liquid nitrogen?
And then you can like smash it and it like...
Yeah, it shatters, but I could just be conflating memories.
So
it was a long time ago.
I mean, so it sounds like it was a really fun day and that the commercial, it sounds like it kind of lives up to the hype of the commercials in some ways. Is that fair to say?
I mean, there was kind of a disappointing thing about the day.
What's that? What was disappointing?
Well, so, you know, Jason mentioned that he got the egg smashed on his head. The biggest disappointment for me was that they had the obstacle course for Double Dare set up in the gym, right? And we all got to run through it, but it was no mess. It was sterile, right? And so they had like a ball pit that you can jump in, like something you get at Chuck E. Cheese's or Major Magic's or whatever, you know, something from back in the day. But it wasn't like, I remember being really excited about just getting, being able to get all messy and do, because, you know, I love Double Dare, right? I loved watching it, and I always thought I could do better than the kids on the show, right? Like, oh, they screwed this up. So that was kind of a, that was the only really disappointing thing. And then the concert, of course, but I don't know, I don't want to get into that too soon.
Well, was the concert, was that the end of the day activity? Like the climax of it?
I don't remember it was the end of the day. I do remember it was after lunch, because...
What was lunch? Gotta be pizza. Can't be anything but pizza.
Well, I don't... It was probably pizza, but
yes!
Barth from You Can't Do That on Television actually served... so, you know, we had like the hot lunch and the back lunch, and so he served the lunch, which was actually really cool, but now, I mean... I think it's kind of gross, but back then it was like, oh, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah. That's a pretty clever integration.
Yeah, he did the initial announcement, and then he was also serving lunch. But I got sick during the concert, and that's why I remember it so well.
Oh, from the lunch? What was the concert?
New Kids on the Block came.
What?
Yeah,
New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, New Kids on the Block came to our school.
I don't even like New Kids on the Block. Like, I don't know why I'm so excited about it. I'm just impressed with Nickelodeon's ability to keep raising the bar here.
So, you know, Nick and I were talking about this day, and, you know, I got sick. I think I just drank too much milk, or it was too hot in the gym or whatever.
Yeah, there's like a million things. Sounds like Nickelodeon was doing nothing but throwing things that could make you sick.
Right. And so the next day... So, I don't know, Nick, this is kind of your story. Do you want to tell it, like, the reaction the next day after New Kids on the Block?
All right. Well, I can add a little bit of color commentary there, and then Joe can throw in his funny little anecdote there at the end. But what I tend to remember is the day of, because I don't think... I mean, they were pretty new back then. I would imagine New Kids on the Block at the time. Yeah, they were really the New Kids on the Block. That's great. I imagine them kind of like Tiffany in the mall.
Okay.
You know, doing like, that's why they were so strongly attached to Nickelodeon, I believe, at the time, is because they were getting exposure that way. And of course, one of their... coming up is to do this thing for the taking over your school. I remember they performed a number of songs, but they did their big one at the time was Hangin' Tough or whatever.
And they called, I know it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was before Step by Step.
Yeah, I'm looking at their Wikipedia page now, and Hangin' Tough came out in 1988 to 1999, and I think I want to say that's their breakthrough.
It was.
Okay.
Step by Step was their second album. I'm embarrassed. I don't even like New Kids on the Block.
If I went to a New Kids on the Block concert, I would know a little bit more about them too. If they had played at my school when I was a kid, you know, that would definitely like put them on my radar permanently, I'm afraid.
I remember them calling us up on stage to come dance with them during Hangin' Tough.
And their kind of move was that like legs swinging to the side like a pendulum thing. Is that what they had the kids do?
And swinging their hand like they're, you know, like waving to each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of waving like you don't care. That seems familiar. But I mean, like, I feel like New Kids on the Block, like most boy bands, probably skewed female. Like, I feel like that's who the core New Kids on the Block fans were. Certainly, I was of age to, I was a kid when Step by Step and Hangin' Tough were out, and like, I definitely didn't care. So I'm just wondering, like, I mean, do you remember, was everyone into it just because the whole day is so fun, or was anyone like, I don't like New Kids on the Block?
What I remember is it being polarized the day after. Seemed like in the moment, everybody was enjoying it. The day after, you were definitely uncool if you were a male and still enjoying New Kids on the Block.
That's so funny. Yeah, because like when they're there and it's part of the whole day, I mean, like the whole day just sounds so fun. And again, it's like when you're in school... any assembly, anything but class is good, you know? Like, so whether it's New Kids on the Block or Menudo or whatever, you're just like, this is better than learning math when you're a kid, you know? It's funny that, like, you would like New Kids on the Block.
The next day, I'll go ahead, Nick.
I was just going to say, to my credit, the first album I ever bought was Iron Maiden Caught Somewhere in Time. So
wait, what happened the next day?
So the next day, you know, like Nick said, it was totally not cool to admit that you enjoyed the concert or had a good time or liked them at all. And the girls were crazy about it, right? Like the fifth grade girls, you know, I imagine the third grade girls were the same as well. But the fifth grade girls were absolutely, you know, over their minds. And so, you know, at that point in my life, I think there was a little bit of jealousy, right? But as a 10, 11-year-old, however old I wasn't really ready to admit or process that at the time. Like, so I remember the big joke was because I got sick and had to leave, you know, I had to leave the gym and go sit outside the principal's office and breathe into a bag or whatever, that I remember always saying, the concert, you know, the New Kids on the Block are so bad, it actually made me physically ill, which was, you know, hilarious in fifth grade, but like, unfortunately, I don't think my sense of humor ever progressed.
It's a good cover, you know. It's definitely like hard to put on you that you like the band when you were physically ill. It's such a kid thing to do, to like enjoy it in the moment and then immediately turn on them the next day and just like start sorting yourselves and deeming it cool or uncool based on how much you enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was very much the culture.
And they're playing, like, where are they playing? And do you guys have like a gymnasium?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were just up on the stage or what, like
they were on bleachers.
The stage or whatever. Yeah, bleachers.
Is this a big school? How many kids were in your class?
Oh no, not really. I mean, my graduating high school was under 1,000, so I can't imagine. West Utica was K through 6, so
I want to say classes were about 30 people or so.
So that you're really seeing New Kids on the Block in a small, intimate environment.
Yeah, it was hot. That's what I got to say.
Okay, what else happened that day? Who else was there? Were there any events that weren't tied to guest stars?
That's difficult. I don't think I really remember that. I remember a couple other shows, but Jason, do you remember any of the other visitors?
So after listening to the podcast so far, just having this conversation with everybody, obviously I haven't said quite as much. I'm just realizing that I am getting old and my memory is not as good as it used to be. I don't remember that much. I remember the Double Dare event. And when you guys reminded me that New Kids on the Block played, I was like, oh, yeah, like an internal dialogue. I'm just kind of thinking like, oh, yeah, that was. I don't remember that, but that's right. They did play.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same for me. Yeah. It's the same for me with you with the comment about the egg thing. Now, I remember in the 88 promo, Mark Summers, he was there and he was out in a field and they had the Double Dare props, you know, the iconic obstacles out, the big mouth with the teeth and the
nose. Like,
right.
The nose that you went up and dug for gold. But in the commercial, they were all in the Double Dare uniforms, you know, the competitive red and blue uniforms, and they had the helmets on and the goggles and everything, and they're going for the flags, and it was teams of two, and it was set up exactly like the show, you know, dirty and everything. But like Joe said, to our disappointment, it was all, you know, sterile for us in the show, which is totally understandable. I mean, you got 600 kids or whatever. You can't exactly be cleaning the setup for them every, making a new Sunday slide. Ah, that was the name of one of the obstacles.
Yeah,
the Sunday slide.
Well, you know, I'm pretty impressed hearing the stories because this is really why I was so interested to hear about it, because it's you know, when you're a kid and you see these ads, like I said, they can really capture your imagination. You like, it seems really exciting. But now that I'm older and I think back, I did wonder before this conversation, like, did Nickelodeon really follow through? And like, was it really an awesome time? And I'm getting the vibe. It was a pretty thorough experience. Just like, from writing something for the morning announcements to having Barth serve you the lunch, like it sounds like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
delivered. Think, yeah. They delivered on the promise.
The only other thing I ever really wanted from growing up was those like Toys R Us shopping sprees, you know, where they like sure, show the kids running through with the shopping cart. So
Nickelodeon had a great sweepstakes department, because the Super Toy Run, which is the one I believe you're talking about, that was a contest where you got, I think, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something in a KB Toys, and you could just, anything you could throw in your cart, you could keep. And when I was a kid, I would like strategize. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
First, I'm going here. I don't even think I ever sent in the postcard or anything, but I would like, but just the you just think about it because it's such a cool thing. And I think both these two contests, I think, have elements of that where, like, I can't think of another sweepstakes besides these two for, like, from the past 30 years that I remember anything about. But these two, like, really stuck with me.
Yeah, I always wanted to win that. It's like when you talk about winning the lottery now, right? As a kid, you're just like, oh, I'd go crazy in that place. But I didn't win either. But at least I got to take part in this one.
Yeah, you guys did pretty good. Like, I don't think you get to complain about not winning the Super Toy Run.
No.
What about the Slimings? Let's talk about Slimings. I got to believe. I'm going to take back my statement that it sounds like Nickelodeon followed through. If Mr. O'Brien didn't get slimed. Tell me Mr. O'Brien got slimed.
I'm pretty sure he got slimed.
Yeah, I believe that's the only one that they actually made a big presentation about. And then later on, they of course, did some promos for the following year. And one of the two male sixth grade teachers, Kramer. Mr. Kramer, the big guy. He was in the commercial. And, of course, the kids are all, you know, oh, my God, enter. You'll have such a good time. And the shtick of the commercial was the teachers, all the adults are saying, don't enter. Whatever you do, don't enter. And then it said, Mr. Kramer was sitting there on a desk and he goes, do not enter. And
so
then
your old teacher's in like the ad for the following year.
Yes. Yeah. And he did get slimed in the commercial. I do remember that.
They had Kids Court, right?
Yeah. Kids Court.
Kids Court. I remember Kids Court. Fair or unfair.
Absolutely.
That was the shtick. It wasn't guilty or not guilty. I think it was fair or unfair.
Fair or unfair, yeah.
So what did they do for Kids Court?
Well, we were in the same library that Joe was discussing, and I remember we all sat there kind of Indian style, and Paul Prevenza, the host of the show.
Crisscross applesauce.
Paul Prevenza was the host of it?
Yeah, he was the host.
I was going to say when it came up, like, I was vague. I'm sure it was hosted by some comedian.
I had to do a little bit of fact checking.
I'm certain it was some comedian. In the same way that, like, Mike O'Malley hosted Figure It Out and Guts, and, like, I don't know, the Nickelodeon was, it was a pretty good gig for a comedian, I imagine.
Yeah, you definitely conjured up some recall in me there with the whole Figure It Out. I loved that show, and now that I think about it.
And, but Kids Court was like People's Court, but for kids.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, kids brought their disputes or whatever.
I was actually called on to give my case, and Paul Prevenza came up to me, and I stuttered over it because I'm a third grader and I have no idea how to speak on a microphone. And I had this long, convoluted story, and midway through the story, just joking, just ribbing me a little bit, he goes, time's up.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he says, no, keep going. So I kept going. And
but what's
I got
your story to- like? Because it seems like that could get bad, having kids accuse each other of things with no warning and in the library. Yeah. That seems like it could take a turn. So certainly there must be some guardrails up there.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, they really didn't. There was no screening, you know.
He just
called on somebody, and he called on me. And at the time, you know, I had a mixed family. I had a stepbrother, and we had a little bit of animosity. He didn't live with us, and, you know, he'd come every weekend. And I had my friends in my neighborhood, and he'd kind of come and you know, insert himself in the situation. He was a bit of a spaz. So he got into an altercation with one of my friends on the street. And
we're not looking to relitigate the case today on the podcast.
Well, I'm just proving that I can get through the story now without all the ums and uhs, you know, that got my time called on me, like Dave Chappelle with the buzzer. Wrap it up, B. You know? But anyway, yeah, ultimately everything went to, what do you think, kids, fair or unfair? It was unfair.
Yeah, it was not gonna, it's obviously you want to yell unfair regardless of if the situation was fair or unfair.
Yeah. I mean, it was unfair what happened to Nick. So
even if at the end you're like, did you catch what that kid said? No, man, he was just unfair. Stuttering a lot.
Someone got hit with a shoe, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's right. My stepbrother threw a shoe at my friend, and I retaliated it. And I was the only person to get in trouble. But anyway.
Unfair. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Still stands to this day. Unfair. Yeah.
The ruling stands. I mean, what else? You guys remember any other events from the day?
Early, I think the first thing that happened in my classroom was the show Don't Just Sit There. Absolutely. Yes, that's the show.
Sorry, I had to like yell. This is like, because this, I was really into Nickelodeon when I was a kid. It was like a really important thing for me growing up. So it's hard for me not to like get really excited when you say Don't Just Sit There.
Well, it was exciting because I was kind of into the newer show. Like, I liked Kids Court and I liked Don't Just Sit There because that was new. Don't Just Sit There came out that same year. So the kids were really cool and they were doing new things like, you know, they'd take apart Nintendos and stuff like that. You know, the whole idea of the show was, you know, they were getting into, you know, what I would call a predecessor to the NFL's Play 60 or whatever, you know, just getting kids off their butts and doing something instead of just being couch potatoes. And that was the premise.
That was canceled after a year and replaced with Ren and Stimpy.
Right.
Right, yeah. And then, of course, this is long before SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right, right? Of course. So it sounds like they really got everyone. Or, you know, this is I honestly thought Mark Summers, maybe one or two other people, maybe a band, but like this is a pretty thorough lineup. It sounds like almost everyone from the show. Is there anyone that you like wanted to, like, were you upset that Magellan from Eureka's Castle didn't show up or something like that?
Oh, geez, no. I
remember that show.
I felt like the big stable was there. And you, just like you said, you know, I feel like they came through, especially for those of us who were expecting nothing, you know.
Yeah, like right. I can't get over just trying to imagine a kid who wakes up, goes to school, is just ready for another day of school, and like 3 hours later is like covered in rotten eggs and, you know, at a New Kids on the Block concert.
It was fun. Yeah, they had a bunch of the kids from You Can't Do That on Television. I don't remember any of their names, unfortunately. The only guy that sticks out is Barth. But like, I know they were running around the school, and you would just, you know, you go through the hallway and they'd be there, and you know, they come into your classroom, and it was just, it was really cool.
Were they like, what is school like? We are showbiz children.
No, I believe they pretty much stuck in character. You know, I would imagine the only people who got real intimate moments were the people that were there before school hours or people that were involved with helping with setup. But, you know, for us kids, I feel like, you know, they really kept a character and gave us the experience.
Yeah, I also think that, like, You Can't Do That on Television wasn't like iCarly. And I bet those kids were relatively normal, you know, because it wasn't just this pop culture phenomenon.
Right. And I guess their paychecks weren't quite as big back then.
That's probably true, too, unfortunately. But it might be worth it for the normalcy. Do you guys remember anything about the day, besides the physical sickness, and was there any element of it that was in any way disappointing to you?
I mean, other than the gym thing, not really.
I do remember, I mean, in retrospect, I guess I remember when the Don't Just Sit There kids came through. I remember I was excited to see them because it was a new show for me, and they came through and they came up to every one of us and started writing down our names. And then I just, you know, I thinking back on it, I'm just like, they were going to us pretty quick. I don't think they wrote a single name down on that pad.
But they made you feel important.
Yeah, we were important because they were writing our names down, right?
And then I guess the next question is, like, what is the next day like? So it sounds like there was a next day and this wasn't a Friday, because you guys remembered the kind of controversy about the New Kids on the Block. It's just like hard for me to imagine order being restored and just going back to normal the next day. Do you remember any re-entry difficulties?
I mean, the playground was really chattery, right? I mean, everybody had their own stories to tell and things like that. So they did a pretty good job of keeping order.
It sounds like the teachers and the principal, really good sports. It sounds like everyone's a really good sport about it. And like, they enjoyed it, at least as far as we can tell from your stories these many years later. It sounds like they were a good sport and they enjoyed it themselves.
Yeah, I think it was the first time I got to see my fifth grade teacher smile, so that was fun, and probably the only time that school year.
Who did you have for fifth grade?
Mrs. Lansky.
Oh, I had Miss Lansky as well. I thought she was pretty nice. Mr. Kramer, I ended up having for sixth grade, and he was always a good sport. I had a kid. His name was Nicholas as well, and he came to our school in sixth grade, and Mr. Kramer was standing in front of a doorway for our class photo. He says, Well, I'll just hop back here in this cubby hole. And Nick looks at him and goes, well, that fills up that cubby hole.
Yeah, my mom had Mr. Kramer in sixth grade as well. So it's kind of, we both had the same. He's passed away now. But
yeah, I heard that. Well, of course, he was old then.
Sorry, we're getting morose. This is supposed to be a happy day.
No, it's fun, like, hearing people. I mean, that part's not fun. I'm sorry to hear this apparently nice teacher isn't with us anymore, but it is. It's nice. It's fun to hear people, like, reminisce about their school, because even though, like, I don't know these people, like, I know this conversation, so it's kind of fun to hear it with, like, new names, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. You got to get some flavor, right? So even Mr. Cox, who was kind of, you know, as the name might imply, he was kind of the more crotchety of the two. Too, but it was almost like it was just his his thing, you know. He was still a real cool guy. It's just right. You got that he was he always wanted to act like the more serious of the two sixth grade teachers, and
yeah.
In that sense, I think they all were really good sports throughout the whole thing.
The next day on the playground, everyone's got their stories. Everyone's chattering. Everyone's making fun of New Kids on the Block. Is Sean a hero now? Like, do you think? Because I feel like that's the other fantasy they're selling, is that you will win and Nick will come take over your school and you will be more popular as a result. That's like a little bit a part of the fantasy they're trying to sell, I think. Do you remember, like, did this have any impact on Sean's standing in the social pecking order?
It might have in his own class. I mean, we, like I said, we were second, third split, but the third grade kids hung out with each other and the second grades kind of did their own thing. I know he won $1,000 to go with it. So he got his own, he got his own prize on top of it.
$1,000 is like $1,000,000 if you're 7 years old.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, right. Yeah.
Especially back in the 80s, too, when that could practically buy a car.
Yeah, if you think about it. Yeah, it's something else. You could definitely go on a kid's Toys R Us shopping spree, that's for sure.
So is everyone like, hey, Sean, you got $20?
Like, loan me $5, you know? Nah,
I honestly don't remember having much. I know, like, maybe the month that class started, he and I talked a lot, but then I realized I wasn't supposed to talk with the kids that were younger than me, and we never really
even
talked
after
much.
Even after we won this contest, you're not going to hang out with them?
Oh, well, you know, I don't think it was like, I don't think I did anything on purpose to avoid him, but I don't remember really having much any conversations with him after that.
Yeah,
I didn't even know who he was. So it was fun because I remember when Nickelodeon was there, I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Who won this? You know, and then somebody mentioned his name, and it just blew right over my head. I'm like, oh, I don't even know who that is, but hey, I'll enjoy it. So,
so Jason, you guys moved after that school year, right? That's the last school year you had at West Utica.
Yeah, we moved in the middle of the school year. I remember that was like one of the that occurred, and then I think I moved probably like within a month afterwards.
Did you tell everyone about at your new school? Hey, Nickelodeon took over my school, because I would never shut up about it for the rest of my life.
Right, I did tell everybody, and some people didn't believe me.
I mean, but you had, and you mentioned this earlier, you had some swag for proof. What kind of swag you get?
I did, I remember I got a Double Dare flag, and I remember, I think they gave me, like, a bottle of shampoo to help wash all of the egg off, but it was green. It was slime.
Slime from You Can't Do That on Television, but it was shampoo. It was, like, the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah, it was branded and everything. It was green slime shampoo.
That's cool. Did everyone get that, or did you just get that because you were covered with rotten eggs?
No, everybody got it.
I believe he was presented with it, but we all got some, and I still remember Harvey from Double Dare. Get you clean, won't turn you green. Now you can get slimed in your own shower.
Was Harvey there?
Oh, gosh. I think he was. I think him and
what about Robin?
And the woman. Yeah, Robin. I believe she was there.
That's so thorough. That's so thorough. I love it. I love
it. Pull no punches.
Yeah. And you guys, like, do you still have that flag? You still have this stuff? Like, this is a cool memory.
I have the jacket that converts into a backpack or whatever. Do you guys remember that?
What? A jacket? What does that mean?
It's like reversible.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, and we tied it up and it said Nickelodeon on the front of it or something.
I still have that. And I mean, I used the shampoo, like you couldn't stop me. You know, I was like, this is, I'm definitely washing my hair tonight, you know. Like.
Oh yeah, I ran through it. I probably used half the bottle in one go.
Yeah.
And
then,
The only other thing I remember getting was the white Nickelodeon t-shirt with the dinosaurs on the front and then the orange Nickelodeon cloud on the back. I believe that sounds about right. You know, they had those commercials and the dinosaurs would come out and sing the Nick, Nick, right. Nick, Nick thing.
No, I can picture them. They're like Nickelodeon orange. I know exactly what they look like. So I know these dinosaurs you speak of.
Yeah, it's not just us. We're also talking about the dinosaurs on the shirt.
Yeah, the shampoo just, I guess I still haven't gotten over it all these years later. Like, I still think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Have we covered all of the events that you guys remember? Are there any other events we haven't discussed yet?
Oh, yeah. I honestly think that's about the whole thing I can remember.
Yeah, same here.
Pretty thorough, though. I'm impressed. That's a lot. That's like a pretty wide variety of programming, a little something for everyone.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago. I mean, these guys remember Sean. So I was in fifth grade, so there was nothing. You know, I was like, whatever. Thanks, kid, for winning, right? But like, but as far as like the other fifth graders, like, no, we're not. I know who he was. You know, I remember seeing him on the playground. Like, oh, that's the kid that won. But other than that, he didn't enter.
Well, I'm imagining the next day he walks in with his chest just like puffed out. You know, just like waiting for compliments, waiting for gratitude.
Oh, well, I'm sure he got plenty of it the day of as well, because, I mean, we did sit in classrooms. I think we kind of came back and wound down after lunch. I know we were at class at the first, you know, at the opening bell. What was I going to say? I do remember the commercials, the spots that they would run the subsequent year were all from our school, but then they kept going on, and the next school that won would get the commercials for the year after that. But I might be wrong, but I want to say as late as like maybe 8 or 9 years later, when they had done a number of years of taking over the schools, they started, you know, cutting in all the years instead of, and of course, since we were the first one, some of us were in, so it was like taking a step back because we're in high school or whatever, and now we're even just out of high school, maybe, depending, and we're seeing pictures of ourselves from 1989
in the commercials.
But, oh yeah, that's
so,
right,
like, you guys are in the commercials and the school is.
Absolutely, yeah. I do remember, I want to say the girl who decided to do a little bit of talking about, like, yeah, after the whole day is over, we'll have a concert with a real live rock band. I think her name was Alicia. I know she was a red-haired girl, but I can't remember what her name was exactly. But, I mean, as far as the whole being satisfying and getting that experience, I think, you know, being the first year, they want to get off on the right foot. So, like Joe said, you know, they didn't pull any punches.
And then, even though one of you moved, this is 25 years later, and, you know, Joe, actually, why don't you tell everyone how I found you? Because it was hard to find someone who, I was looking for a while. This has been a quest of mine, to find someone who participated in one of these contests, who could give us this side. Joe, why don't you tell everyone how I found you?
I was just posting, I don't even remember why, but had talked about it on a popular video game forum. And
can we name that video game for him? I think so, right?
Yeah, NeoGAF.
NeoGAF, which is like, that's a pretty hardcore video game for him, you know? It's like definitely like, it's one of them. Like, it is known in the community, you know?
Yeah, and you had just sent me a message, and I actually hadn't gone on the site for a little while, so a couple weeks after you'd sent it, I saw it, and I was like, oh, hey. So I looked you up on Twitter and just hit you up on Twitter, and we started talking.
I was so delighted to receive your tweet. Hey, did you message me on NeoGAF asking if I had won the Nickelodeon Takes Over Your School contest? Because I got to be like, yes, I did. That was me. And then you were like, hey, let's get my friends. They were there. Let's get them involved. And so you guys are still friends later, even though it sounds like not only you have years between you, but you switched school districts too. So, I mean, just out of curiosity, like, how'd you guys all stay in touch all these years? Are you all still in the area?
No. where Jason and I are both still in Michigan. So Jason's older brother, you know, I moved to the school in second grade, and Jason's older brother was basically my first friend at the school. And he and I still talk. He and I still live in the same city. But yeah, just through the years, we stayed in touch. You know, I've known their family for 20 years. I mean, Jason and Nick, both of their families, they're close to me. Even after all these years, they're like second families to me. You know, I mean, you know somebody for 30 years, I guess that kind of happens. So, Nick moved and Jason moved, and I actually spent a couple of years in the Army and traveled around, but we just never really got out of touch.
That's cool. I'm still friends with my elementary school friends too, but we don't have this incredible bond of Nickelodeon holding us together. And then now as we reach the end of our time together, just out of curiosity, I'm wondering, what do you guys do? Like, what do you guys do when you're not on this podcast talking about Nickelodeon?
Right,
Joe. Why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I'm the co-founder of a software development company called Great Lakes Software. And you can actually check out our app at getnexusapp.com if you're interested. It's a software as a service platform.
Cool. I don't know what that does. What's that do? Give me two sentences on what that means.
Help desk software and IT asset management.
Cool. And where can people check that out?
Getnexusapp.com.
And Nick, what do you do?
I do QA, quality assurance, and transcription services for myself. I have a small business, and I do transcription services and QA for pretty much the entire gamut, anything that you would want a transcript for.
Do you have any podcast business?
No, actually, I don't.
I've considered it in the past, but I've never really done that. I haven't gone down the route yet, but I've considered it. No one else is doing it, is what you're telling me, though.
Well, I mean, I can't say that they do or they don't, but I could definitely, we could talk after the podcast if you want.
Interesting. And Jason, what about you?
And for my day job, I work in the insurance industry as a claims adjuster, but I am also an active musician, and I like to play heavy metal music, and I am in a band named Scorned Deity, and we play around. We haven't played in about a year since we are currently looking for a drummer, but we are recording some new music. So
I'm not going to ask what the name of the insurance company is, but I am going to ask where we can hear some Scorned Deity tracks.
Yeah, we have a website, scoranddeity.com. You can go to the Facebook.
Nice, .com on Scorned Deity. Great score.
Yeah, yeah. You can go to YouTube, and we have videos of some of our music, live performances, things like that. So
Nickelodeon, you know, they're bringing back a lot of like the nostalgia stuff, which people have, of course, been talking about like forever. But they're, you know, they have this thing, the Splat now, and they're like, you know, they're really making a business out of Nickelodeon nostalgia. They should do, I want to use this podcast to pitch Nickelodeon the idea. You guys can have this idea for free. Nickelodeon takes over your office. So this is for Nickelodeon fans. They were kids. Maybe Nickelodeon did take over the school. Maybe it didn't. But they always held on to that fantasy, and they still love 90s Nickelodeon. So I'm saying, you still get Clarissa. I want the Roundhouse cast reunited. I watched all the Nickelodeon commercials, all the Nick Takes Over Your School commercials, and definitely the funniest part is they call them the Roundhouse Posse.
Clarissa, yeah! Mark Summers, the Roundhouse Posse.
So the Roundhouse Posse reunites. Clarissa comes, like Mark Summers, and they ruin your office. I feel like your office, your boss probably gonna have less fun with it than your principal, just on average, right?
More likely than
that. It kind of makes you appreciate your principal a little more in retrospect.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, his day's got to be mundane to a degree anyway. So, I mean, honestly, we're so in the culture just over the last 10, 15 years. Everybody's so connected. You know, I mean, everybody. I think back then it definitely had more gravity.
What did?
Oh, Nickelodeon taking over your school. Yeah, I think it was, if you weren't in California or something, you might not have been, or I mean, I guess in New York City, you might not have been near as in touch. And these people seemed like idols to us, as opposed to, you know, everybody can connect with someone on Twitter or on Instagram. So I think there was we were definitely removed from it, and therefore I think maybe just a little bit more starstruck.
It was that much more magical because like these people didn't even seem like real people. Like they just existed only in the 22 minutes you saw them on that episode, you know?
Yeah. Exactly, right. I mean, you couldn't hear about their drunk driving escapades, you know, within 10 minutes of it happening.
Guys, I really have been thinking about this basically my entire life, and it's a relief to learn about it and to like finally get some clarity on what it was, and to learn that it was actually pretty cool, and that Nickelodeon, you know, lived up to what I hoped they would. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about it. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it was cool.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
A thank you one more time to Joe, Nick, and Jason. Hey, I want to address something you heard way back at the start of the podcast. You might have noticed something that's not usually there. Someone saying,
"This is a HeadGum podcast."
It's true. I have joined the HeadGum Podcast Network, which was, of course, founded by my old college humor buddies, Jake and Amir. I don't know if you can tell from the title, but the Jeff Rubin Show is mostly a solo effort, which is great because I get to do whatever I want, which is a right you may recall that I invoked earlier in the episode. But, you know, there's been a lot of people over the years that a lot of friends who I rely on for podcast advice or just bouncing ideas off of them. Should we do this? Should we not do this? Jake and Amir are, of course, two of them. And though this basically remains a solo effort, I am very excited to join a stable of not only great podcasters, but also people who are great friends. A lot of Jeff Rubin Show friends and family in the HeadGum Podcast Network. So I am very excited to be there. But you might be wondering, what does this mean for me, the Jeff Rubin Show listener, who is not only listening to the show, but also the outro that Jeff assumes most people skip? Basically nothing. It basically means nothing for you. But I am going to do one thing, which is not really related to the HeadGum thing, but just seems like the time to launch a new effort. I'm going to try something where I kind of have some reruns. Now, these will not interfere with our regularly scheduled programming. I'm still going to keep pushing out the same product at the same cadence, but it has occurred to me that I've done a bunch of these now for almost 5 years, and for some reason, not everyone has listened to every single episode. And I mentioned to someone recently that I interviewed the creator of Settlers of Catan, Klaus Teuber. Great, great moment in Jeff Rubin Show history. And this person was like, "Oh, I had no idea you interviewed them." And I was like, "How would you? That was 5 years ago. So if you like weren't following me on Tumblr that week, you wouldn't know." So I'm going to repost old episodes in the feed with a little introduction so no one's confused about what's going on. And let's try it. Let's just try one next week, see how it feels. I was thinking like maybe they could be sort of topical, like we'd post an old Game of Thrones episode around Game of Thrones time. I guess that's happening now, but we're gonna stick with this Catan plan, because that's just the inspiration for the whole program. So next week, I am going to repost this old Settlers of Catan Jeff Rubin show for people who might not only have not listened, but don't even know it exists. But the week after that, I will be back with a new episode, and it's not going to be rerun new episode every other week. The reruns are going to be a little more sporadic. I'm just excited to try one. But this new episode, just like this week's episode, going to be about television, about a TV show. We are going to be talking to someone who designs challenges for the reality show Survivor. Someone who designs challenges for the reality show Survivor. So, to recap, thank you, Joe, Nick, and Jason. Jeff Rubin Show, now in the HeadGum Podcast Network. I may sometimes post reruns and give them a little intro, a little coat of fresh paint in the beginning just to let people know what's going on. And in 2 weeks, I'll be back with a new episode about the TV show Survivor. Do we have time after all that to plug social media stuff? I mean, it's almost just like, I feel like it's bad luck if I don't, so I better do it. Twitter at Jeff Rubin Show. There's a Tumblr. There's a Facebook. There's a YouTube page. You can sign up for the mailing list at JeffRubinJeffRubinShow.com. Get all the previous episodes. I guess you could probably get these at HeadGum now or soon at HeadGum.com. I'm not quite sure how that works. That may or may not be true. But no, that's actually all I have to say. Thank you, as always, from the bottom of my heart for listening. We'll talk soon. I look forward to it. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.